that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
Play.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. After a few weeks off, much needed few weeks off, I would say, we are back for the 2021 calendar year. Technically, 2021 season started already, but we had the Tournament of Champions, 42 golfers, as it is previous year's winners, and due to COVID, it's also the top 30 that made the Tournament of Champions this year, or I believe, yeah, TOC is the final event of the playoffs. So we're going to get 42 golfers this week, and as far as I'm aware at the moment, they're all in the field. So that is great. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. I'm on Twitter at BDNTrick, and my co-host, once again, for another great year of DFS golf talk, you can find him on Twitter at DFSGolfGods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm doing good, dude. It seems like it's been longer than what it has. Nice layoff, but, I'm like ready to watch some golf and get back into that whole groove. So how are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm with you because we were talking about it in the junkies group message. Speaking of which, junkies contest for year five, I believe, starts up this Thursday with the Tournament of Champions. Get in there. It's the original DFS contest. It is a great DFS contest. So just hit up Kevin on Twitter or check out the at junkies contest on Twitter as all the goods, or if you just ask us, we'll get it to you, whatever. But come join the fun. It's always a good one in there. But when you guys are talking about the primetime golf, I love this. The Hawaii Tour, like our high swing. You get home from work or whatever you're doing, you have dinner or whatever, and you just watch golf basically until you go to bed. It's absolutely – I love it. Some people hate it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. The only thing I think that they could do to make this better is, you know, play these first couple tournaments and have them ending on Friday. Because you're buttoning the football time here, right?
Playoff time.
So it gives people something to do. Like, you know, if you do it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's over with on Friday. Then they go over to their island, they play that one, and then they have a little bit more time off coming back over to California. Cause you know, fuck that is a flight.
Yes.
And an adjustment to go from Hawaii time to back to Pacific time. I mean, you guys, what are 4 or 5 days behind Eastern time now. So, you know, you just had New Year's. So that's good. But, you know, it's one of those things to me. I don't know. I think that would work out pretty well. Cause you know, I would pay a lot more. I'm going to watch the golf tournament. I would pay a lot more attention if it wasn't during NFL playoffs. You know, I mean, there's some, this weekend for NFL is going to be awesome.
Yeah. 2 triple headers, awesome football games. Like, whoo, let's get cracking.
Yeah.
But now I'm with you. It is going to kind of take a back seat, but I guess it's fine because a lot of these guys are kind of tuning up for at least next weekend's full field event, which will help a little bit. But this event's more of a, I almost want to call it an exhibition. It's not, because there's a lot of money on the line.
Right.
There's DFS on the line, but you know, no cut event, 42 golfers. I'll talk about the course preview, but unless you're just playing really bad golf, it is pretty forgiving golf course.
Yeah.
And there should be tons of scoring barring the wind. So these guys are out there. They're going to be gripping it and ripping it. If they're allowed to wear shorts, they'd be wearing shorts and sipping Mai Tais half the time if they wanted to. This is the event where you bring your family to. It's like the Pro Bowl for golf.
Right.
Like, that's what this is. So it's not that they're not taking it seriously, but it's one of those where, you know, it's a free money event in theory, and some guys still don't show up. So put that into perspective. But any other thoughts? Like you said, the layoff, I'm with you. I was laughing, looking like last Thursday or Friday. I was like, we start next week, don't we? I was looking on my phone and I was like, man, it felt a lot longer than like 3 weeks. It felt like we were off for a long time. So anything else from, you know, the past few weeks of golf? You know, we got Tiger's son was just terrorizing golf courses. Looked eerily similar. Like he's going to be beating JT in about 10 years, probably somewhere. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. Yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, it's been I haven't really been paying a whole hell of a lot of attention to golf, but it's been a good break. So I'm ready to hop back into it.
Yep, we're going to hop back in again with Century Tournament of Champions. It's yearly at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. I'll get into the course preview shortly, but Jesse will get us with the past event history, and there's actually quite a bit at this place.
Yeah, there's plenty of course history. Obviously played over in Hawaii on Maui, Kapalua Resort. Justin Thomas won his second for a second time here last year in a playoff, 14 under over Patrick Reed and Xander Schauffele. Xander was the winner in 2019, 23 under, one shot over Gary Woodland. Your 2018 winner was Dustin Johnson. Second time he's won this event, 24 under, eight shots over John Rahm. JT won it in 2017, Spieth in 2016, Reed 2015, Zach Johnson in 2014, DJ 2013. That's pretty much all the relevant shit you need to know. I think all those guys, except for ZJ and Spieth, yeah, are in the field this week. So,
yeah, most of those guys are in the field. It's one of these events that I was heard or read somewhere today that majority of the time you need to have played this place before to win at this event. I think you'll get some high finishes. Like last year, Joaquin Niemann finished fifth, which is one of the highest finishes for a first-timer at this course, which seems crazy. We might get more this year because there's actually more first-timers because all these guys actually won. That's the running joke everywhere is Tony Finau's in the event. So enjoy that one. But it is the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Really awesome golf course. I mentioned it last year when we talked about this. My buddy played it now, it'd be almost 2 years ago. And the way he described it, it's like everything you read. It's a lot of blind shots, a lot of elevation changes. That's where they kind of – it's not a tough course, but just knowing like, hey, I'm not going to see the drop off from the tee shot where the fairway is going to be, but if I hit it here, we're golden. It's easy. It's a lot easier than it looks from the tee box type situation. It almost has like a Pete Dye feel to it, but it's not a Pete Dye course where it's like a lot of illusions, optical illusions, but super wide fairway, super forgiving fairways, large, but very slow Bermuda greens. So you can greens and regulations on paper should be easy. Fairways should be easy. But you still have to be able to put it close. Otherwise, you're three-putting, two-putting, three-putting, stuff like that. It's a par 73, which we don't see every day, 7,596 yards. Seems super long, but you get four par fives because of the par 73. But the elevation changes shortens the course quite a bit. You'll have about, I think it's three or four par fours in the back nine that are below 400 yards. This is where DJ almost hole in one on a par four because it was downhill with the wind. That's the biggest deterrent to this course is if it's windy. I haven't seen the reports yet for this week, but if it's not too windy, Jesse mentioned a lot of the winners are shooting 20 under par and whatnot because it's basically super wide fairway, so you can bomb it and wedge it in. And if you've got a hot putter, you're going to do pretty well on this event. So you don't really have to be – obviously, these guys are good, but it definitely favors the big boys at this course. That's why they usually finish towards the top. With that said, Jesse, what kind of stats are you looking at this week?
It's tough because obviously we're on at least a 3 or 4 week layoff here for most of these guys, and most of them really haven't played since the Masters. So I weigh course history quite heavily this week, but also just look at, you know, strokes gained off the tee, approach. I think off the tee is one of the big things. Driving distance, I do think matters here. If you look at a lot of the past winners here, most of them can hit the ball pretty far, and then use the old gut model.
Trust me, my gut model is large. It works very, very well. So that's always a good one. But, yeah, there's really no past event history, or there is past event. There's no recent form that'll make it kind of tough. Most of these guys haven't played since the Masters. So we've seen like those that follow like DJ or Paulina on any social media, they've been living it up pretty well. So yeah. I'm not too worried about that one. You got JT playing with his father and the father or the family event. It's not father-son anymore, family event. That took place. So there's a lot of different ways to go about it. But one thing we can look at, fanshare.sports.com, good friends of the podcast, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 25% off the package of your choice. I didn't use a lot of recent form, of course, but I just looked at, you know, past 10 events on Bermuda greens, something we could look at. And the top DK scores in this field on Bermuda, the last 10 events on Bermuda, Webb Simpson, and he's averaging 101 points DK scoring The second place guy's averaging 84. And that's Xander. Yeah, JT, Dustin, Sergio, Scheffler round out the top there. And then if I just did last 10 events on like seaside courses, because maybe they played in the wind or whatever to help there, leading the way, John Rahm, Webb Simpson, JT, Morikawa, DJ, Berger. Scheffler's right behind that, so he kind of popped on both also. Really not a whole lot of other things. Like there's rarely a par 73 to compare it to, things along those lines. But you can kind of get a feel, like you said, recent form. There's some guys that just play really, really well at this golf course, and it's something to maybe circle back to. Also, again, no-cut event, 42 golfers. So it's like in between the final event in the playoffs and the second-to-last event in the playoffs. It's kind of an in-between game. One thing we emphasize a lot on the show is do not play cash this week, please. Like, it's just don't do it. This is not the week that I'm a big cash proponent. We talk about it a lot when there's a real event. Next week, I will talk cash for you. This week, bear down on that one. And then be different. Jesse, do you want to like give a – we talk about it a lot, but maybe there's new listeners or something. Just real quick, how can they be different in a field like this to kind of differentiate themselves?
I mean, the easiest way is to leave at least $500 on the table. 90% of the lineups will have at least $49,600 used as far as salary goes. I mean, that's really the best way. Just when anytime you're in these limited fields, it just really limits how unique you can get. So, especially if you're going to play some of these. I mean, some of these guys are going to be 40, 50% owned, depending on the contest you play. So just keep that in mind too. But it's okay because obviously we'll talk about DJ here in a second. You know,
yeah. There's going to be some chalk and there's going to be good chalk, that's for sure. It's when you get into certain spots, which we'll talk about, that hey, maybe you know this player and the player A and player B are pretty darn similar. Then take the lower owned guy. Like they're going to they're all going to play four rounds. So take it there. Also, it's obviously we watch golf because we want to see guys win, but when we're playing DK, we want DK points, which is different than where they finish all the time. Like we talk about JT, Finau, birdie machines in no-cut events. Xander plays great in no-cut events. We'll talk about some other guys. Finau is like the king of finishing like 35th, but finishing like 12th in DK scoring, stuff like that. So it's just little things like that. When you look at like past event history, okay, that might make something to be important. But then also I wish Fanshare had they had a WGC tab, so I almost used that, but like a no-cut event tab. Give me that because I want to see how these guys fare in that respect. So if you're listening, Fanshare Sports, which I know you do, maybe we can add that for the future. That'd be pretty darn awesome. But let's get into the DK scoring, and we'll talk more strategy and whatnot when we do this. But you have five guys over $10,000. You have DJ at $11,000, obviously player of the year, probably the hottest golfer on the planet before the stop. JT at $10,700, who won an event during the stop with his father. John Rahm at $10,400. Bryson at $10,200. Speaking of John Rahm, new clubs. He's now Team Callaway, not Team TaylorMade. So keep that in mind. And then Xander Schauffele at $10,000. And I saw today, Jesse, that Xander was diagnosed with COVID on the 18th of December. And he cleared a test yesterday morning or this morning, as Monday. Is it Sunday or Monday morning to allow him to play this week? So he said all he felt was tired, but nothing else sickness-wise. So he should be good to go. But that's another thing to keep in mind. So we've got five guys over 10K. Who are you looking at here?
I mean, obviously, Dustin Johnson. His course history is ridiculous. 7th, 4th, 1st, 6th, 10th, 6th, 1st. So basically, he's finished inside the top 10 four straight years. I mean, if you really, it's really top 10s every time he's played this since 2013. But inside the top 10 in those last 4 years. So he's going to be popular. You know, obviously, he's a Masters champion. He finished 2nd at the Houston Open, played well at the U.S. Open. I mean, you know, it's Dustin Johnson. What do I really need to go into here? John Rahm, I think, is interesting. 10,400, finished 10th here last year, 8th the year before, and finished 2nd in 2018. Coming off a 7th place finish at the Masters. Has played very well of late, but, you know, he is switching to Callaway clubs. You know, I don't think he does that at this point without thinking or knowing that his game is going to be equal to or better than what they were before. So that doesn't really bother me. It might bother other people. So there might be a little bit of an ownership lag there. I think all these guys are playable. I wouldn't tell you not to play any of these guys up top here, but those are the two that I'll be targeting. and kind of looking at basically, you know, some ownership, but maybe potentially some other guys. I'm thinking this week, I mean, I'm not going to go heavy at all. I play maybe like, you know, a 20 max or something. Maybe a couple of single entry, more high dollar, but it's just one of those things where this, you get super excited for this event and then you have to have like the nuts or else you are, you know, trying to min cash and like begging for a par and a birdie. I mean, it's just one of those things. So it's, and it's also early in the season. So you got equipment changes, you got, you know, guys in different mindsets. They have a fresh mind. You know, it's just one of those things where there's a lot of unknowns, even more so than golf, where there's a billion, trillion, gazillion unknowns every week. So, yeah, but DJ and Rom will be the two guys I'm going to focus on up top here.
Yeah, these are also the events where you're feeling great going into Sunday, and then you guys don't show up on Sunday and you lose everything.
Right.
So that's always fun because It's not like you're 6-6 going up against 4-6. No, we all have 6-6.
Right.
So that's always fun. And Rom, the thing on Rom, which is always interesting, which usually gets me on him eventually, is when he's always priced up with these guys, he seems to get no ownership, basically, like you said. Like, there's something about people just don't want to embrace, unless you're Michael Ruvolo, you just don't embrace John Rahm, it feels like. So it is interesting. If he's low owned, he can't. If any of these guys are low owned, you should probably be playing them because they all could win. JT's, I like JT this week. Winner last year, third, 22nd, first. So he's won two of the last 4 years. A guy that he's a no cut specialist. He's a guy you'll hear the narrative. He wins in small field events narratives, but he loves this course just like DJ. I have nothing against DJ. If I can get an ownership advantage with JT over DJ, I'll take it. That's just the way I look at it. But both are great plays there. Bryson, I won't play, but no one would be shocked if it's a bomb and gouge course. If he figures it out, it wouldn't shock me at all. But I love Xander. I like Xander a lot, period. If you've listened to the show before. And, you know, runner up here last year, actually lost in a playoff to JT last year. He won the year before. He loves these kind of events. He usually comes in low owned. I ride him most weeks, and I always ride him in no cut events. And I'll be riding him again this week. So for me, it's JT and Xander up here, which is kind of fun to start out the year. We are on two different guys in the top two out of the five. That is fun for the usual, where we're always kind of in sync for most of it. So
that is different for sure.
It's definitely different. So I'm going to go JT and Xander up here, and maybe that's a good thing looking at a lot of people. Maybe that'll spread out the ownership. So let's see if we're not the only two kind of moving it around here. Let's go into the 9K range now. You got Cantlay at 98. You got Taco Tits at, I can't even read. Is that 98 also?
So 96.
Yes. 96. Okay, that's what I thought. 96. And then you got Webb at 94, Hovland 92, Matsuyama at 9,000. So a couple past winners, some good course history here. What do you like in this range?
Yeah, just, I mean, in case you don't know who Taco Tits is, that's Patrick Reed.
Yes, just follow me on Twitter. You'll know who he is by the end of the tournament.
I'll start there at 9,800 with Cantlay. I think he's interesting at that price. Finished fourth here last year. You know, played okay at the Masters, won the Zozo. So he's kind of in this range where I feel like he might go unnoticed a little bit. And then Hovland at 92, he's never played here, but come off a third place finish over in Europe at the DP World Tour Championship. Before that, he won the Mayakoba, did not play the Masters. So those would be my two main squeezes up here in the 9,000 range. Again, another range where I feel like you can play everybody. I would not tell you not to play anybody once again. I mean, this field's loaded. So, I mean, you look at Hideki, fourth, second, third in his last three appearances here, but hadn't played here since 2018. I think he's playable too, but most people will notice that. And so I do expect him to be higher owned. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm on Hideki at fourth, second, and third. I was on him as he finished up last season, the way he was playing so well. And when Hideki likes a course, he likes a course. Like we talked about it when he went to the Masters, Hideki always has one of these top finishes. Boom, he did it again. Like this, there's certain places that fit him, and the fact that they're slow greens might help him a lot because it's always his putter that gets him into trouble. I'm hoping it's like other events with Matsuyama. Even if he has course history, people just ignore him, which would be great because Hovland's right there and then Finau's right below him. So I'm hoping Matsuyama gets ignored, but I will be on Hideki this week. I like the Cantlay call. I just wanted to mention him also was I don't think he gets any ownership. So it's one of those, if you need to differentiate yourself and you want some other chalk that you like better, Cantlay is not a bad way to do it. He really is not bad at all. So I like that call you made there. And then the other guy is Reed. I think Reed, you know, second, 25th, sixth, second, first in his last five trips here. He's a guy that usually if he's in trouble, it's because he's inaccurate off the tee. This is one of the most forgiving golf courses off the tee that he's going to play. So I guess it's a great exposure spot for Reed as well. So Reed and Matsuyama. Matsuyama probably my favorite in this range. We'll recap all that later. But Cantlay is a good ownership play as well. So I like that call quite a bit. 8K range. We got Finau at 89, Morikawa at 88, English 87, Berger 86, Scheffler 85, Smith 84, Neiman 83, Sungjae 82, Adam Scott down to 81, and Abe Anser at 8,000. This is where you can start to differentiate yourself a little bit, Jesse. What are you seeing here?
Yeah, I think there's obviously a lot of playable guys here. I've seen Finau's name a bunch of times already. I expect him to be pretty popular at 8,900. Berger, I like him quite a bit. 11th and 14th in his two appearances here, which was 2018 and 2017. Coming off a 23rd at the Mayakoba, did not get into the Masters. I suspect he'll get into this next one. I think he just has to get his world golf ranking up. And as long as it's top 50, he'll be into the Masters for the spring here, which is only 3 months away. Anyways, Berger, 86. Neiman at 83, and you mentioned him earlier with his fifth place finish here last year. And I'm not usually a Neiman guy, so, you know, I don't know if I can jinx him like I do like Xander, for example. But, you know, he's played pretty well coming off a 23rd Mayakoba. I don't know. I feel like he just kind of like it's like you go back to like the CJ Cup, which was a no-cut event, correct?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Finished sixth. At that event, was it the Zozo no cut too?
Yep.
Or was it, yeah, yep. 17th there. You know, so it's just one of those things where he just kind of, I don't know, he doesn't get intimidated. Sungjae at 8,200, man, he did. So I was looking at Sungjae's, you know, kind of recent stuff or whatever. He went and played that same European Tour event that I was talking about
of
for
course Hovland. He did.
I mean,
he couldn't take a month off and just enjoy the
right. The why wouldn't he? So, you know, that was on the third. I guess that started on the 13th or whatever. So that's 3 weeks ago, or whatever. Finished 14th there. I'd Sungjae. You know, he's never played here, but I think he's fine. And Adam Scott, man, I'm just gonna have to do it. He finished sixth here in 2014, which was his last appearance. I mean, you know, that he's not playing enough golf, but his pedigree is better than $8,100 golfer in this event. So if he can figure it out, I like him quite a bit, especially in big GPPs.
Yeah. Scott's always that GPP guy. Like I'll never trust him in cash cause he doesn't play enough like to have that kind of current form that I can trust.
Right.
But you know, for a fact that if he shows like he can show up any week and pretty much top five or win a tournament like in a heartbeat. So I'm with you there. Like GPPs, which is what you want this week. I'm curious about how owned he's going to be because I know we've mentioned that pretty much every time he plays because he takes like 3 months off, it feels like, in between every event. But I think people are starting to catch on to that now that he is a pretty good price tag if things all correlate properly. So yeah. I'm curious if – because like he definitely stands out as one of the prices in this tournament that, okay, if he shows up, he's like more of a mid-9K guy. Like it's a weird deal. So I'm curious on Scott. I love Finau, but I'm not going to play a chalky Finau. I just can't bring myself to do it. He should destroy this golf course, like with the wide fairways, the wedge game. This screams Tony Finau could actually contend here this week, like really should. The only time he played here was in 2017. He finished ninth at $8,900. He finished ninth. That means he DK-wise probably finished like fifth. Like it's hard not to play him. It really isn't. So maybe I'll reevaluate and just play a chalky Finau. But right now I don't want to play a chalky Finau. That's why I like Matsuyama $100 on top of him. And I think Morikawa 100 below is very interesting. People kind of soured on Morikawa the way after he won his major, he kind of slowed down a little bit. But he was in that European event as well, finished 10th. I forgot to mention Reed was in that event and finished 3rd. So these guys have played a little bit. But Morikawa finished 10th over there. He finished 7th here last year in his first time at this event. Talk about a guy that's good off the tee, really good iron play, wedge play. He could be interesting if you get him at low ownership. That's why I think Finau, if he sucks a lot of the ownership out of Matsuyama and Morikawa, you could get some interesting plays with those two. I like the Berger at 86. He's still too cheap. We talk about it almost weekly with him, it feels like, unless it's a weaker event where he gets, you know, he's the high guy. He's just too cheap the way he's been playing golf. So I'm with you on Berger. Neiman, I love at 83, finished the season very well. Abe Anser, I always like at 8,000, his first time here. But the guy I wanted to mention, he finished 17th here 2 years or 3 years ago, and he won the Sony last year. And if you want a guy that's going to be basically unowned, Cam Smith at 84 has my attention. A guy that we know can go low. He can also be tilting, but again, I keep telling myself this course forgiving for the most part. And a guy that he won in Hawaii, and he plays well on the seaside courses. This is a guy that I think at $8,400 can contend here and basically come in at no ownership and really help you when you need some chalk later on. So Cam Smith at 84 is the guy I wanted to highlight in this range. All right, the 7K range, since it's not as big as usual, I'll just name all the guys off. Here got Camp Champ, Kisner, Sergio, Billy Ho, Munoz, Leishman, Kokrak, Todd, Ortiz, Palmer. I have a feeling we're going to be on a couple of the same guys here. So who are you liking?
Yeah, I start at top with 7,900 with Cam Champ. This will be his third appearance here, which is crazy to even think about. You know, I don't feel like he's been around that long.
He's got two dubs.
I know. And so he's been in the field now for the third consecutive year, finished 14th last year, 11th the year before that, coming off a 19th at the Masters, 8th at the Zozo. So, you know, he's the way he can hit it. I like his prospects here. Sergio at 7,700. He's never played this event.
Quite surprising.
The Houston Open. He missed the Masters because of COVID. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he got the bid.
So I like him though, just from a stats perspective. He just sits pretty well on my model. Carlos Ortiz at 7,100. He's never played here either, but did have a win roughly 2 months ago at Houston, 8th place the week after that at Mayakoba. So I think he's fine too at 71. Got to give a little bit of a nod to Munoz. I don't know. I mean, two straight missed cuts for him.
He makes the cut this week, though.
I mean, he's, you know, 17th, you know, which is basically middle of the pack. Because typically this, you know, last year he finished 17th, which is basically middle of the pack. Because typically there's about 30 golfers in this event, roughly 30, 32, give or take, 35, whatever. So it's not a great finish, but 7,500, I would put him on a GPP team or three.
Yeah, he's a birdie machine. Like, that's why we right. like him and we usually play him. So, hey, if you're looking for DraftKings scoring, I'd love to go back. This is just me needing to look more. 17th in the tournament, I wonder what he finished DraftKings-wise. That would be interesting because he'll birdie an eagle and then he'll double bogey a couple holes.
Right. I can tell you how many points he scored.
That's always interesting with Sebastian Munoz. But while you're looking that up, I like Munoz this week. I love Cam Champ this week. And a big reason, like I talked about, bombs, wedge, putt. He can bomb it with the best of them. His wedge plays pretty decent. If he can putt, we're going to be in business. So I like Champ a lot. And then a guy I love using in no-cut events, finished 17th here last year as well, is Ryan Palmer, because he can have those explosively just destroying you days, but also going to shoot 61. Like, he's that kind of guy. In an no-cut event, he's a good salary saver in an no-cut event. So I don't mind Ryan Palmer. Ortiz is interesting. It's a fun range, but I'm going to be kind of Champ Munoz would be my main two in this range. Did you find anything on Munoz?
Yeah, so he was 7,100 last year. He where was it? It was right there. 7,100, 28% owned. But he was coming off like a third-place finish at the RSM a month before. And he scored 74.5 points.
Yeah, it's not great. In a birdie fest, it's not
right.
Not what you want to see. But yeah, the ownership doesn't surprise me, because remember, he won one event, then he like finished second, and like he was on a streak there for a while. Right. So yeah, people loved him. Probably a little lower owned this week, which would be nice. 6K range. I think we're both going to like Lanto below 7K at $6,900. You have Mackenzie Hughes at 68, Kevin Na at 67, Sink at 66, Thomas 65, Laird 64. Landry, Taylor, Gay, Swafford, Streb, Wierenski. So a lot of first-timers, a lot of guys that you just surprised to be here. Who do you like in this range?
Definitely Lanto. I mean, yeah, he's pretty much the only guy I have checked down here. Most of these guys are first-timers. Like Michael Thompson has played here before. He finished 16th in 2014, coming off a 15th-place finish at the Houston Open. You know, I mean, he should be next to not owned. And I mean, relatively speaking, you know, I'm below 5%, I would imagine. Nick Taylor, 6,200. He played here one time, 2015, finished 29th. Does not have good form coming in. Swofford, he hits the ball really far. He played here one time in 2018, finished 27th. And I don't really like a whole heck of a lot of these guys. It makes it difficult to do it like a Stars and Scrubs type of approach because I'm not a huge fan of these guys. But, you know, one of these guys I would think is going to pop. And, like, you look at Stewie Cink, played here twice, but it's been a decade. Yeah. He finished 9th in 2010. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's like tough. Stewie and Lonto would be the two guys that I would play for sure down here.
Yeah, and Stewie probably comes in low. Lonto's going to be chalky. That's going to
show. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because he shouldn't be $6,900 in this field. He really shouldn't be. Because I've always kind of visualized Lonto and Munoz as kind of the same golfer.
Yeah.
Like either pop off or they, but Munoz is always priced above him. And maybe it's because the ownership, it's almost like, you know, when you look at a sports book, they put the line out there because they know people are going to pay. Like, it's just kind of how it's going to go. So you put Lonto down here, and it's like we're like a moth to a flame here. And that's the part right. That's going to suck. So Stugoat will get a break. I think Mackenzie Hughes at 68, first time here, but a guy that was playing really well. And it's always his putter that kind of, you know, makes things messy. So if he gets that putter going at all at 68, he could put up some points for you in this event. So I like Hughes quite a bit. Marty Laird, if it's windy, that's one thing that's been really nice. You know, he hasn't played since 2014 when he finished 20th. Finished second in 12 and fourth in 2010. So he's played well when he's been here. He kind of had decent form towards the end of the season. Actually, two missed cuts after his W he had. So $6,400. If it's windy, yes. Otherwise, it's tough. And then if you just want an absolute dart, if you are doing Stars and Scrubs, I love Richie Orwinski just because if he gets hot, he makes a ton of birdies. He can also just not putt at all. And it's very tilting, and he'll be three putting everywhere and bogeys all over the place. But he's playing 4 days. If he like strikes together a couple rounds with a lot of birdies for $6,000, not going to crush you. Like Jesse mentioned earlier, to win all the monies, you need to have basically the nuts. If you just want to like not min cash but cash, okay. Berwinski shouldn't crush you there if the rest of your guys play well. So just kind of depends on what you want to do there. If you're looking for Stars and Scrubs, I don't hate the $6,000 Berwinski call. That basically probably zero ownership. So got to think about there. Let's recap things real quick. Who's your top play in the 10K range?
That's DJ.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go with Xander at 10K. I'm a big Xander guy. 9K, who's your top play?
Can't lie.
Matsuyama for me. 8K range, go two guys.
Berger and Neiman.
I'm going to go with I like both of them. I'm going to go Morikawa and Cam Smith to be a little different. 7K range, you can go with two if you want.
Champ and Ortiz.
We'll go Champ and Munoz. I think the Ortiz one's a good one. I think he's got a lot of – if, like, Munoz is chalky, I think Ortiz is a good pivot for sure. 6K, who do you like besides Lando?
Sink?
It's tough. I got to go Hughes. Usually in these – that's the crazy part, Jesse, is usually like in these WGCs, no-cut events – there's like five guys in a 6K range. You're like, okay, I can put them in my lineup. I'm good with that. They really did. I'll give them credit, I guess. They did a good job pricing-wise because if you want to play the big dogs, usually what you can do in no-cut events, you got to take scrubs, and they made it much more challenging this week.
Yeah.
So I'll give them that credit there. So I don't remember the price tag, but I feel like I had Ryan Palmer at like $6,300 in one of those events, stuff like that. So they made you work for it, at least. I'll give them that. If you're starting a GPP lineup, give me three guys you're starting with.
I went DJ, Lonto, and Cam Champ.
I went Xander, Matsuyama, and Cam Champ. So going to be fun there. I actually made a full lineup earlier that was interesting. I don't know how much I love it to win the whole thing, but it was interesting. And then I pulled up our good old friends at Bovada. What kind of odds you like for winning this thing?
None of them. Did you see where they put these exactas on there, first, second, in order?
Really? I have not seen
if
that.
If you scroll down, like, below the just golf odds or whatever, they got these exactas, like DJ, JT to finish first, second, any order.
Interesting.
Or this is actually in order, first, second, in order. I mean, any order is different, but 40 to 1. So
that's intriguing.
But if you're looking at, like, just – maybe some longer shot odds here. I know you mentioned Cam Smith at 40 to 1. I don't mind that necessarily. I mean, these, you know, it is what it is here with these odds. It's just a short field, and
I think it's a good week for like grabbing a Lanto, a Munoz, a Champ, one of those guys, like a top 10. I think those are fun, like something like that. Because, like I said earlier, the cream usually rises to the top here. So there's a good chance. Like if I was going to pick one of the guys up top with okay odds, like Reed at 16 and Matsuyama at 18, I could stomach that just based on Morikawa at 22. Like those are interesting, but you know, usually you get 22 for a guy that's priced like mid 9Ks or something. So it's just the size of the field like you're talking about. But you know, Champ's 50-1, Munoz 100-1, Lanto 100-1. Go for a top 10. You can probably get him at least 10-1 or something and see how that goes. And lines are actually moving as we talk. Matsuyama went from 22 to 20. And Fina went from 20 to 22. So things are changing already. That was funny. I've never seen that happen while we've been on air before, but that was interesting.
Bubba over moving lines.
Yeah, there's people listening to the show. Appreciate it. You know, just keep doing you guys. Yeah, Harris English just went to 33, went up. It was 35 a second ago. All right. Well, that'll wrap us up for our first preview. Any final thoughts going into the Century Tournament of Champions?
I don't. You know, this is a fun event to watch. And again, like I was talking about earlier, but it you can get overly excited about it. And so for me, I've learned to temper my expectations on this tournament because it is it's a bit of a crapshoot more than a normal golf tournament is, which is a crapshoot.
Yeah, and like you said, temper kind of your exposure. Have fun with it. I was doing the cascade on all the cut events towards the end there. I'll probably go back to my three entries for this and wait until next week's event to go back to I like the cascade. The concept's great. And it really works when it's a good idea. But I'm going to probably just go back to three max here, maybe get like a three-man core and go that route and kind of fluctuate there. But have fun with it. Don't go too crazy because, A, long season to go, and, B, no-cut events can be the biggest roller coaster ride you have out there. So right. When you think you're doing great, don't stop. It's really interesting. But, yeah, any final thoughts?
I do not know other than, you know, hop into our Junkies League if you know, want a little bit of extra action. It's a good time. You know, basically it's $100 for the whole entire year. We pay out segments. We pay out there's a bunch of different segments you can win season long. And then it's a free contest every week, so you don't have to pay anything extra on top of that $100 if you want to just play one lineup every week and, you know, that's it. But, yeah, so that's it.
No, it's awesome. It's a good point of bringing that back up. It's a great event. We've been in it from the get-go. This last year, after COVID hit, my teams went to crap. Year before that, I think I finished, like, fourth. Like, so it's a lot of fun. Now, Jesse's been up there a few times. Randy's been kicking butt. I think he did really well in football this year. So there's a lot of good stuff there. And then also I wanted to mention, you know, Pat Mayo is doing his one and done if you want to go check that out. But also Josh is doing his own one and done through Carbon something or other. I apologize for not knowing that. But that starts next week at the Sony. So if you used to do the one and done we always wrote about, Josh is taking it on his own now with Melinda, and they'll be doing that. So we'll be talking about that next week, of course. And we'll throughout the season, we'll be doing our one and done picks also with the weekly write-ups. But until then, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am at BD Intrick. Hope you guys have a good week, and we'll be back with you next time.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Next, don't give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Next, don't give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.